And people tend to approach a Bible subject and to say, well, when's the rapture going to be, or something like that, or is Calvinism true, or something like that. And the way folks tend to approach it is they simply want a series of verses to either prove it's so or prove it's not so. And that's fine if you can do that, but the fact of the matter, it can be approached that way, but, and I've argued it that way, but the better thing to do is the Lord's method of things. Let me take you back to Isaiah 28 for a moment. Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28, and notice verse 9. Now, this is the Lord's method for you learning about the things of God, and by that I mean what's revealed to us in the Bible. He says, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Again, repeats it down in verse 13. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. That's if someone doesn't receive the knowledge of God that way. It's supposed to be, though, precept upon precept. The idea, it's like building a wall. You start with a foundation, so other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus, right? And you build, and you start, you make sure that the brick, the block are straight and level, and you start laying them in. And if you know, there are times, again, an argument breaks out up near the top of the wall where somebody argues a point of doctrine here or there, but oftentimes if something goes wrong, and well, all the time, if something goes wrong down here near the bottom of the, near the foundation, things are going to go wrong up here. And so that's why in this matter of this, that we're going to talk about it from the ground up. And eternal security opened the Bible for me. When I was, you know, in school and trying to get a start of knowing the Bible and still had questions on my own part about all kinds of things, the fact of the matter is this study broke things open for me, and I learned that, man, the Bible doesn't just have answers, but it opens up like a flower in some things. And this eternal security thing is what opened it up for me. I got answers about all kinds of things out of eternal security, because the foundation it lays, because it lays so much down that you draw on from there. I had a discussion with a young man and his family here. It's now been years ago now, but he was getting badly off track. And he was trying to convince me of some things that were not right at all. And he said, well, if you think that I'm wrong, tell me where I'm wrong. I said, okay, you're wrong way up here on the wall. But where you went wrong is way back down here where you didn't understand this stuff. So now your wall's collapsing. And that's, as far as I'm concerned, that's the case. If you're going to start at the beginning, you go all the way back to salvation. Okay? And here's the deal. There's way too many people in this world, when it comes to salvation, what they think of is, forgiveness, going to heaven. And if you're forgiven and going to heaven, you're born again, and praise God for it. If that's all you know, that's worth knowing. But your knowledge is not supposed to stop there, right? And the fact of the matter is, if that's all you understand, there's going to be a problem in the future, because your understanding is superficial. And you don't really understand the depths of what you have. And because you never built from the foundation up in knowledge, not just your salvation, because you didn't build from the ground up, you're going to have problems in the future, because you're going to get off track, because you don't know stuff down here. These block down here at knee level, at shin level, were not laid straight and true. And so the wall is collapsing from the bottom up. And that's what's laid down in studying what we're going to study these next few weeks. It's going to take more than 1 week or two, I can tell you that right now. But I'm had occasion to read and reason to read the last few months a bunch of guys that are mid-trib rapture people, post-trib rapture people, and pre-wrath rapture people, and they invariably fall flat on their faces on the same stuff over and over and over again. And so I'd like to, and I'm just saying that studying eternal security gives you the tools to know the timing for prophecy. And so I hope to lay all that out for you. We're going to start at the very beginning with something. Let me show you that what we're studying is worth studying, and that the Lord really wants you to know this. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, a lot of Bible these next few weeks, and be revisiting the same passages sometimes over and over. The theme, and we'll discuss this later, in Ephesians is being in Christ, okay? And talking to saved people and trying to give them a hint and an understanding of what they really have in Christ. Now, this is not talking about religion. This is not talking about joining a denomination. This is not talking about jumping through certain religious hoops. We're having communion Sunday night, right? So we're going to do that because the Lord wants us to, but that has nothing to do with your salvation. And whether or not you've been baptized in this water right here is not relevant to your salvation, because it's not about what you've done. It's about what you believe. Here in Ephesians chapter 1, he tries to give the Ephesians, he's trying to show them the depths of things. Notice verse 15, Ephesians 1:15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, which is where salvation begins, right? And love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. There's some depths of things to learn. He said, I'm praying you get it. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That verse says that having Christ and having the hope of his calling, that you have riches of glory of his inheritance of the saints. Do you understand it? I dare say that most Christians today don't, and you should. And to understand it, you've got to know what you've got in Christ. Verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him in his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, I hope that you can gather from that, as perhaps you can in this verse too, that there are depths here that most folks never truly plumb. And you get taught a lot of Bible, and we try to do that, and we do. And so maybe you have a better concept and grasp of it, but you should have a better concept and grasp of it. He wants you to have it. Look in chapter 2, Ephesians 2 and verse 5. He's reminding the Ephesians that once in verse 5, we were dead in sins, and he hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together, made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Why? That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Sounds almost like salvation's just the beginning. And that's the case. There are a ton of people running around in the United States of America saved. And they're saved, and praise God they're saved, right? But they don't get it. They don't have a book, and they don't really know the Savior. And that's what we're trying to avoid. Amen? Now, so we're going to start with salvation. You can't understand some things unless you understand eternal security. You can't understand eternal security if you don't understand what you've got in Christ. And first of all, I can say this. Go back to Romans 3. Cover some real rudimentary ground here for just about 5 minutes, and then we'll go on to something else. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. First of all, you need to know this, and this should be plain to most of you. Brethren, salvation is by faith. It is not by ritual. It is not by religion. It is not by your stinking good works. It is by faith plus nothing else. Look in Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, not before, but now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. Is that plain? You get the righteousness of God given to you by putting your faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 22, unto all, no exceptions, and upon all them that believe. The only thing holding you back from having the righteousness of God is whatever it is that keeps you from believing. Because belief is the issue. Faith is the issue. Not what denomination you belong to, not what you've done, not what you've not done, not what rituals you've gone through, not what religious hoops you've jumped through. It's about faith. It's about whether you've had a moment in your life where you put your faith and trust in a Savior that paid the price for you. Back to verse 22. For there is no difference at the end of the verse. None at all. Doesn't matter, Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, the guy in Russia, whoever you want to name, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That includes everybody. That includes me. It certainly includes me. In fact, I'll just go ahead and climb to the top of the list. I'm the chiefest. It includes me. Being justified freely, that is those that have trusted Christ, right? Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The redemption is not in a religious organization. It's not in a church. It's certainly not in what you do. It's in what you believe. It's in Christ. Verse 25, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation. Big word. It means a covering. It means an atonement. Through faith in His blood. Is that clear? Salvation is by faith in His blood. Salvation is you putting your faith in His blood. To declare His righteousness. When you put your faith in His blood, He declares righteousness towards you. Whose righteousness is that? It's His. He gives you His righteousness if you believe on His Son. Verse 25, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. It couldn't be clearer. You get saved by your faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. Period. That's where salvation is. Look in Ephesians 2, real fast. Ephesians chapter 2, verse, and you know it, many of you can quote it, verse 8. And we just read this passage back in verse 7. Let's start there. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. His kindness was exhibited towards us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith. Through faith, not religious ritual, not confirmation, not being baptized a Methodist or a Presbyterian or a Lutheran. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. You get a gift for free. Somebody paid for it, but you get it for free. Jesus Christ paid for it, and he paid the price. You get it for free. I got mine for free. It's a blessing. Verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, if you are inclined to think that your works have something to do with you achieving salvation, that is the righteousness of God, that is an insult. It's an insult to God. It's an insult to what Jesus Christ did. You say, well, preacher, I know some verses in the Bible that point somebody to doing works to be saved. If you know that verse, I would actually agree with you. I understand that that's true. And the answer to that is that the reason the Bible points somebody in the past, and by the way, somebody yet in the future, towards works to help them on their way to getting saved, the reason why it does that is because they don't have what you have. And you say, well, I'm confused by that. Well, we'll straighten it out in the next few weeks, but you're going to have to stick it out. Because, yep, there are verses in the Bible that plainly tells a man that he needs to work, at least in part, for his salvation. Here's the deal. They're not for you. What you have, what I'm going to show you that you have, is so complete, and it's such an extraordinary and exceedingly abundant thing that works is an insult. To include works in that portion of the equation, it's an insult. Because he's the one that finished the work. He said, it is finished. And he didn't say, you help finish it. No, he said, it's finished. Now look here. I want to go through a series of verses. It's going to take a while. I'm not one that likes to cover things partially. So, you wanted a study? Here's a study. Look in Luke chapter 22. I'm going to give you a series of things. I won't be able to finish by any means all of them tonight. I'm going to give you a series of things to show you what it is that Jesus Christ offers a man in Jesus Christ. And I want to you to ask yourself, is that what I've got? You may be religious. You may be a lifelong Presbyterian devoted. And if you don't have these things, you don't have salvation. First of all, Luke 22, verse 32. Luke 22, verse... Well, we can start reading with verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, Simon Peter, right? Behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Simon Peter had to be converted. So he's not all that some people build him up to be. Here you are, just one short chapter before, Jesus Christ is crucified on the cross. And he still says to Peter, you have yet to be converted. There's a lot that falls under conversion. If you're saved, it's because you've been converted. There's an awful lot that falls under this heading. But Everything in salvation fits here. Conversion. Now think about it. You convert one form of energy to another. If you have water running down a gorge or out or through a dam, like I can't think of a lake right now, but where they generate electricity, the physical movement of the water, the actual mechanical energy of the water runs through the turbine, which generates electricity, correct? Now let me ask you a question. Once that water moves through that turbine and electricity is generated, is that electricity in that turbine from that water right there that just passed through, is that ever reversed and unconverted? No. So, eternal security. Right? If you're converted, can you unconvert? Not quite sure how you do that. Man, in chemistry, I hated converting those equations. I hated it. So much so that once they were converted, I wasn't going back to touch them again. But you stop and think about it. You take and convert one form of energy to another. Now, I know you might be able to reverse engineer the process, but once this particular volume of water passes through that turbine and that energy from that water is converted to electrical energy, that electrical energy, you can't roll the clock back. That energy does not come back in that bunch of water and is unconverted. You can't be unconverted. Now, there's more to it, though. Look in John chapter 3. Salvation involves a conversion. When were you converted? Look in John chapter 3. Yeah, it said, I was converted when I was born. No, you weren't converted when you were born. Look in John chapter 3. There's something else involved. John 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again. Quit saying it altogether. Born again. Born again. Born again. Makes it sound like some weird word. No, it's born again. It's being born again. Not born again. Born again. No, it's born again. Somebody is born twice. You were born once already. I know you have been because you're sitting right there. Have you been born again? Says in verse 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. You see, there's baptism. Oh, is it? Verse 5, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And then he explains, verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Now in verse 5, you have born of water, born of Spirit, right? Verse 6, you have, when he's explaining, you have born of flesh, born of Spirit. Well, the two spirits match, verse 5 and verse 6, right? Somebody born of the Spirit is born of the Spirit. Somebody that is born of the water is born of what? Flesh. It's not baptism at all. It's talking about somebody being born the first time when their mother's water broke. Did you know that your body right now is about 75 or 80 plus percent water? That first birth is a water birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Verse 7, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Now look, folks, how many of you are born again? You're born again? Tell me how you're going to be unborn. That gets a little weird to think about. Physically, Nicodemus addressed it there. You can't crawl back in your mother's womb. No, you certainly can't to be born again. You can't be unborn once you're born. Now, if you believe you can lose your salvation, you must believe that you can be unborn again once you're born again. Now, I'm not quite sure how that works. How can that be? Look in 1 Peter chapter 1, addressing this matter from this direction. 1 Peter chapter 1. All I'm trying to explain is that when you get saved, you have a conversion and you have another birth. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. When you were born the first time, haven't you proceeded to get older and older? And some of you have reached the pinnacle of your existence and you're now headed downhill. Of course, I'm not, but some of you are. You're getting older and older and corrupter. And you know what you're proving? You're proving that you were born of corruptible seed. I'm not trying to be mean about your mom and dad, but your mom and dad had you, and it was corruptible seed, right? Getting older and older and arthritic and weaker, and your back hurts a lot. Verse 23, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. There's such a thing as uncorruptible seed by the word of God. That's the incorruptible seed, which liveth and abideth forever. When you're born again, you're born of seed that's incorruptible. You not only are not unborn again, but the seed isn't corruptible. You don't die in this birth. Right? Look at something else. There's something else that you've got. You're converted. You have a new birth. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm trying to cover two or three angles of this at one time going through, showing, first of all, if you're saved, this is what you've got. You need to understand that. Two, if this is what you've got, then you need to think about each of these things as, now, is each of these things reversible? Is a new birth reversible? Can you crawl back in after you've crawled out? Is a conversion reversible? Can you be unconverted? Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You have a new birth if you're saved, and you are a new creature. New creature. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Keep your finger there. Turn over to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6. Now, while you're turning to Galatians 6, go back to 2 Corinthians 5, because at this point, it'd be nice to be able to go through this in a nice linear fashion, but once you get to this phrasing, being in Christ, I mean, once you're saved, this thing goes bam like that, and there's 1,000 trails, because in Christ involves all these things. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If any man beware in Christ. In Christ is a place. In Christ is a position. In Christ is where you've gone if you're saved. That's where you go if you want to be saved. You get in Christ. If it's raining outside, you want to get in the house. If you're lost, you want to get in Christ. Because that's where things are made right. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Galatians chapter 6, And go down to verse 15 and notice how this goes. Verse 15. For in Christ Jesus, again, it's a position, it's a place. It's not in church. It's not in a ritual. It's not in a religion. It's in a spiritual place in a man who died for your sins and welcomes you in Christ. We explain more later, but for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, that is the law, nor uncircumcision, that is without the law as a Gentile, but a new creature. A new creature what? A new creature avails. You know what avail means? Avail means it's effectual. Avail means it matters. What doesn't matter is circumcision. What doesn't matter is whether you're under the law. What doesn't really matter is whether you're not under the law, uncircumcision. What matters is whether you're in Christ and a new creature. Right? Now, if you're a new creature, can you become uncreatured? Is this thing reversible? How would you become not a new creature? If you have eternal life, you never become an old creature. How does a new creature become a non-creature? It doesn't work. It's not reversible. Now again, in Christ, go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and again, we now have to track down several trails. And all of this has to do with what you got when you put your faith and trust in the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse you from your sins. Look in we're going to read verse 17 again. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. I can't deal with that right now. We'll come back to it. Verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ. Now, if you're saved, you're where? You're in Christ. That's where you're trying to head for. Well, God, the reason it works is because God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. The reason you want to get in Christ is because God was in Christ when Christ died and rose, reconciling the world to himself. The issue is getting in Christ. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. In Christ, in Christ, in Christ. Verse 3. Ephesians 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. That's an extraordinary thing. You're saved, you're middle-aged, you're dumpy, you're poor, your teeth are going bad, and you don't have much of a promise for a very good retirement. If you're saved, it says this. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with a few spiritual blessings, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Where? In Christ. The key is in Christ. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Look down in chapter 2, verse 1. The issue is in Christ. And you, verse 1, hath he quickened who were dead. Where were you before? In trespasses and sins. If you've never been born again, where you are dead in your trespasses and sins. If we make trespasses and sins the same as, say, sewage and muck and mud, you're dead laying in the sewer. You have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein? In trespasses and sins. In time past, you walked according to the course of this world. You thought like the world. You loved what the world loved. You listened to the media all the time. You just did what everybody did. In fact, you used that as an excuse. Everybody else is doing it. Right? He says, Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, our manner of life, the way we lived. Our conversation was there in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy and has great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, there it is again, where you were before you were saved, even when you were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved, hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places. Where? In Christ. In Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ is the issue. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Are you saved? Is this the first time you've heard some of this? Are you understanding better a little bit of what you have as a Christian? What your salvation... It doesn't just mean I'm going to heaven. It doesn't just mean, oh, I'm forgiven. It doesn't just mean, so the Lord wants me to be happy. That's not what it means. It means so much more. There's so much that you have. Look in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 16. And he's talking here about the resurrection. He says, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. He's arguing for a while there whether Christ was raised or not. Of course, he was. Verse 17, if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. We know that's not true. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, Adam and Eve, right? By man came also the resurrection of the dead, Jesus Christ. As in Adam all die. You know where you were before you were saved? You were in Adam. And now that you're saved, if you're converted, if you're born again, if you're a new creature, you got taken out of death in Adam and moved over to Jesus Christ, and now you're in Christ. But the key is in Christ. Now, what is this thing about getting in Christ? Well, there's more to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, I'll write it on the board next time. I'm not going to do it at this point. But like I said, you reach a certain point here, you get in Christ, and then there's all these rabbits to chase of all these things that you have. There's all these trails, and you have to go track down each one to see that this being in Christ is the common denominator. And look what you've got. You're in Christ. How did I get there? Well, God put you there. Okay, true enough. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. Now, he's talking about the church body. And he's talking about the individuals of that church being a part of a greater body. Verse 12, for as the body is one, that is the physical body, and hath many members, it's got big toes, little toes, middle-sized toes, and the same with fingers, etc., etc. And all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. By one Spirit are we all baptized. What are you baptized in there? What are you baptized by there? A priest? A preacher? You're baptized by the Spirit. A man had nothing to do with the baptism. This baptism is not even water. This is the Spirit of God baptizing you into one body. That body is Jesus Christ. And that's where you want to be, in Christ. Because that's where all the good stuff is, in Christ. Look in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Romans 6. Verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? I mean, we were such sinners and God saved us by His grace. Shouldn't we just continue in sin so grace can abound? Well, no, absolutely not. God forbid, verse 2. How shall we that are dead to sin, we'll discuss that later, live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ... Now, what were you baptized into Jesus Christ by? We just read it. The Spirit. It's not water. It's never been water. Baptized by the Spirit into Jesus Christ, we're baptized where? Into His death. You've been placed in Christ, right? You're saved, you're in Christ. Well, you've been placed into His death. Doesn't stop there, though, does it? Verse 3, or verse 4. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. When you trust Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit baptizes you into Jesus Christ. Being placed in Christ places you not only into His death and His burial, but His resurrection. And is Christ living forever? Yes, He is. So you've been placed into that life. Eternal life is free for you. It was given to you. You get it for nothing. He's the one that paid the price. Look in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Okay, you're in Christ. You've been baptized into Christ. Ephesians 5. Would you explain to me how you get unbaptized? Believe you can lose your salvation. Okay, you got to believe that you can reverse the new creature, reverse the new birth. Placed in Christ, you got to get out of Christ. You got into Christ by a baptism that's not water. How do you get unbaptized? Never saw that. Look in Ephesians chapter 5 and notice that that's not going to happen. Ephesians chapter 5. And this is the wedding passage. Almost always read at a wedding. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, that is that body we've been talking about, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of His body, of His flesh and of His bones. We're not just members of an organization. We're members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. That is, just as a man and a woman come together in marriage and are from that point on viewed in God's sight as one, so it is when a man and Jesus Christ are joined together, that man is baptized into Jesus Christ, which is where we all want to be, and he's baptized into Him, and he's made a member of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. How are you going to get out of that? You're not getting out. If you're saved, you're going to die saved. That's what you're going to do. You can't become a non-creature. You can't get out of Christ. You can't be unborn. This is a baptism. I can show you this. We'll quit soon enough. Look in Romans chapter 8. It's kind of hard to stop now that I'm on the roll. Look in Romans chapter 8. And oh, there's a lot more to come. Romans chapter 8. Now, let me ask you a question. Have I Have I given you much of an opinion tonight? Beyond being glad for what I got, do you think this lesson has been heavy on opinion?
Well, I think that, well, I think.
Have I given you much opinion? I've given you virtually no opinion in that way. This has all been Bible. Look in Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Okay, so you're in Christ, right? All right. He loves you, right? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Everybody hasn't had it like we have in our country. We're currently looking at an election coming up on Tuesday going, oh boy, like that. And you're thinking, things could really get bad now. They've been bad in a lot of other places for a really long time. And we've had almost haven't had it bad. You may have been through something bad personally, but as far as having had it as a people bad, it's been a really long time. Verse 37, not everybody is that fortunate. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded. Now, this is not my persuasion. This is Paul's persuasion. He was the apostle of the Gentiles. He wrote 14 books of the Bible. He said, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers. Well, those are devils. That's Satan, in fact. Nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. Now, what have we missed? What has not been included in our list here? You want to think of anything? Death and life. What's not included in that? Got any exceptions? Death, life, angels, principalities, powers, devils, demons, things present, things to come. Have we missed anything? Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able. They're not even able to separate us from the love of God, which is where? In Christ Jesus, our Lord. It's all in Him. Everything that's worth having is in Him. If you're seeking somewhere else for it, you're going to miss the boat, because it's all in Him. Once you're in Him and you're in His love, what can take you out? Think of something. I dare you. Think of something. Things present, things to come, height, depth, any other creature, principalities, powers, things in death, things in life. What's not included? What's going to separate you? How do you get out of the love of God if you're in it? And in it is in the love is in Jesus Christ. How do you get out? So then, if you get in the love of God, you're in it for good. And you can't get out. And brother, there is a lot more to come. Well, all I'm trying to show you is that if you can get this block laid on the footer, the foundation, Jesus Christ, that first course and second course and third course of block holds up the rest of the wall. And the rest of your wall, if you're careful, will be right if you get these first three or four courses right. If you don't get these courses right, I promise you, you're going to get messed up there. I promise you. Seen it happen over and over again. We'll talk more next time. Questions or comments?